to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, chef, author, and illegal mezcal ambassador.
And I'm Eddie Kim, bartender at Room 11, Maidan, in D.C., and various other places, whoever needs an extra hand. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. Today, we have Kat Amidi, co-owner of Capitoline Vermouth, producer of some of our favorite aromatized and fortified elixirs here in D.C. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Right on. So real quick, before we even start talking about the beverage or anything, I'd like to pour one out for, I just found out that the Cranberry singer has passed.
I saw that.
Yeah.
46.
46 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, really young, really sad.
We should be, taking
I don't want to pour out this vermouth, but yeah.
No.
But know that we're pouring something out.
We will pretending we'll be having Irish whiskey.
Yeah. I will say Zombie was the song. Yeah. Zombie was the song that inspired me to play the bass guitar in high school.
That is my one of my karaoke go-to
there
songs.
There we go.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack. This is my dream to sing as her on the radio. But I won't torture anybody. So, sad day, but we're here on Shift Drink, and we're celebrating D.C. locale. Kat, what are we drinking here?
I am a big fan of a low ABV cocktail. That's kind of my go-to midday evening. So, went with Adonis, pretty classic sherry vermouth cocktail. So, my preference is Oloroso sherry. I think it stands up to the complexity and body of the Capitoline Rosé, which we're using, and a little nuttier, kind of leathery and dry, with equal parts Capitoline Rosé, Oloroso sherry, orange bitters, and a little orange twist, little expressed orange peel.
Delicious. I'm going to say right now it's pretty cold in D.C., so if you're looking for, you know, most people would have like an old-fashioned or a Manhattan, but something that's lower ABV, this cocktail still holds up to, you know, being heartwarming.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's I think all those warm spices kind of come through, and it's really fun.
Right.
I was actually surprised when you told me you have your Adonis with Oloroso sherry versus other sherries, and I want to know why you choose Oloroso. I mean, you say it holds up to your Capitoline Vermouth.
I swap them in and out, but I think my preference is Oloroso. It's not quite as light as Fino. It's got a little bit more depth to it, and I think the flavor profile, slightly oxidative, just kind of how I like my sherry. And the Capitoline has got a lot going on, a lot of baking spice, a lot of citrus, a lot of body. It's pretty sweet, so I think it just balances it really well and holds up to it.
And the Adonis is kind of one of those classic vermouth cocktails, right?
Exactly, yeah. Classic vermouth cocktail. I think came into popularity early or late 19th century, New York City, I believe.
Okay.
Named after a play there that was very popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was like either the first Broadway or the longest running
Running, maybe. Yeah, at that point. So it's been around. Definitely a classic.
Drinking some history here.
Yes, indeed.
Right on.
We don't have any cocktails named after Broadway plays now, though. I don't think so.
No.
No. No Book of Mormon? Hamilton? The Hamilton? No?
Well, that could be your next project.
You seem like a Broadway kind of guy.
I am a Broadway kind of guy, actually. That's actually one of my favorite songs. You know, when people are setting up during pre-shift or at the end of a night, they usually play, I don't know, something uplifting or hip-hoppy or pop music. I play show tunes.
Do you?
I'm not embarrassed to be in this room with you at all.
My bartenders hate me.
Yeah.
But anyone who's worked with me knows that, you know, be prepared to hear me screaming at the top of my lungs.
I have a fight or flight response to Broadway tunes. That's kind of my...
Yeah. Like, they're polarizing for you, or...
My first instinct is to just run.
Get out. Oh, yeah. You really literally have to get out of that space.
And then I'm like, you know what? I can hang this one out. I can hang this one song. But then it starts dragging into the whole. That said, I did watch Glee. But
on the... it depends on the show. It depends on the show.
Yeah.
Some of them are very earnest and a little hard to sit through.
But on to more important things. All right. We're going to try something new out today, Kat. We're calling this Two Truths, One Lie.
Okay.
This is going to be how we get to know you. Very surface level, very quickly.
Very surface level and very quickly. I can handle that. Yeah, two things that are true about me and one thing that's not true.
Lie to us.
Okay. Let's see. The first concert that I ever attended was in 1990, the Capitol Center here in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And the band was Yes.
Ooh.
Y-E-S, yes.
Okay. A lot of details in that one. I'm thinking that's true.
It could go either way.
Okay.
The first, I'm ready. He said quickly.
No. Is it Y-E-S?
As in, yes.
Exclamation point? Like, Wham?
I don't think there was a...
No?
No, it's not like Wham.
No punctuation.
No. They were more serious than Wham. Mm. Yeah. It was a rotating stage.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Definitely true.
The first... I'm giving myself away. The first time I ever got intoxicated as a youth was drinking Southern Comfort and Lime with my maternal grandmother, Mommy Eileen, in Kensington, Maryland.
Okay. That sounds...
It was...
Truthful.
I'm going to say that's truthful because... Something.
It's very truthful.
That was my go-to drink when I first started drinking.
Wow. Yes.
But maybe she knew that.
We were very similar as kids.
I don't know. We both grew up in the area, so maybe it's a DC thing.
It could be a Montgomery County thing.
But that would be like Grand Marnier.
Okay.
Okay. And then speaking of show tunes, one of my two beloved cats is named Hedvig after the show Hedvig and the Angry Inch.
Ooh, I love that.
So.
Okay.
Hedvig. If you follow my Instagram, you know that the cats exist.
I kind of want to shame Eddie Kim now and just say the SoCo thing is not true.
Actually, I was going to say that. Yeah. Like, gut reaction, I wanted to like it. But I think that's lying about the SoCo.
Yeah.
All right. You're right. You got it. Wow.
You're too classy
you
for
guys.
SoCo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
Bravo.
I'm just the guy. All right. Well, I definitely feel like I know you now.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. Very well.
That was, I think we cut right
we'll
to the heart of
tally.
It.
We're one for one. Great.
Okay, so let's get nerdy with some vermouth. We are literally talking to somebody that makes their own. You've been doing it for a long time, even before you guys started your own line.
Correct, yes.
How did that whole thing
happen? Yeah, what's the story?
Yeah, so weird, yeah. So I was working years and years ago, about 10 years ago, at a restaurant here in D.C. called Obelisk. It's a small little Italian restaurant with my now business partner, Peter Paston. He was the chef owner there. And we were the kind of place where we made everything in-house, you know, pasta, butter, ice cream, everything we could. And that included some spirits. We made, you know, limoncellos, laurel leaf liqueurs, things like that.
Right.
And we one day sort of just decided to try our hand at making vermouth. Excuse me. So it was a pretty rough go. This was, I think, about 2008 or 9. But we grabbed a handle of Everclear and... Yeah. Went into the walk-in and grabbed citrus and fresh herbs and had spices on the shelf and kind of threw them into the Everclear and let them hang out. We had some cinchona bark because, you know, that's just laying around every restaurant, right? And created this infusion and mixed it with wine. Peter is connected to the wine industry in California, so we had a line on some really good wine. Originally, it started with really cheap Italian white wine. So we mixed that together, threw in some sugar, and had a very... rustic version of what eventually actually went to market. It was very similar in its process to what we do today. We don't use Everclear anymore, just FYI, guys.
Yeah.
so we just did it for in-house consumption. It was really for our very humble cocktail program at the time. We did vermouth and Amaro-based cocktails, which I sort of continued through the rest of my career behind the bar. I worked there for some years, and I worked there with John Uselton,
okay.
who is the head distiller and co-owner of Green Hat Distillery, New Columbia Distillers. So he was in the process of opening a distillery. He went and did that. Peter and I took the very kind of rough copy vermouth that we made and opened another restaurant, took it a little bit more seriously. We're making Chianti, sweet vermouth, dry vermouth, different wine bases, different herbs, flavors to the vermouth.
Right.
And integrated that into our cocktail program there.
Cool.
And then
this
we
was Eto?
This is Eto. Sorry, did I not say that? Yeah, this is Eto, and we opened in 2013.
Right on. And Eto, for our listeners who might not know, over on 14th Street, fun little spot. They mill their own flour. They make incredible pizza. Hey, they have chocolate salami.
Yeah. That's a very special place.
It is a very special place.
They have a cookie with three boobs.
They have a, yes, Miss Frascati. She's a real thing in Frascati, which is a place in the state where Rome is, so central Italy. Yeah, that's a real cookie. And chocolate salami. We didn't make that up. That's a real Italian dessert.
Alice Waters, she comes in pretty much every time she's in town, right?
Yeah. She's really? So lovely, wow. Yeah. She's a big fan.
Well, I like the place a lot. It's very small. And
it is. Yeah, yeah. It's great. But sorry.
So got to Eto. We opened that 2013. There I was a beverage director, did all the cocktail program, the wine list, etc. And we just started making a ton of vermouth and got really good feedback from staff, from regulars.
So you used Eto as kind of the vehicle in which to kind of get your vermouth out there initially?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was, and really the intention was for in-house consumption.
Yeah.
It occurred to me a year and a half or so in that the product was really delicious, that we had our, you know, figured out something really tasty. So why not try to take it to market? John and Michael, the owners of New Columbia Distillers, then were designing a cup, which Pimm's is a very famous example. Mm-hmm. It's a British beverage, and they wanted to put a cup out onto market that's half vermouth and half gin, mixed with other things. For example, ours is with tea and ginger.
Sure.
So anyhow, they wanted to create that product, so we make the vermouth for them, and it was just sort of a happy marriage between Capital Line and New Columbia. So they are very generous and let us come in and use their space.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, so the vermouth and the cup are just kind of ready to go cocktails, pour on over ice,
right?
Maybe a twist and drink away.
Exactly. Some vermouth less so than others, but certainly our rosé and the white, both we designed to be drunk in that sort of classic Spanish style where you would pour it over ice, maybe hit it with seltzer, a garnish or two, an olive, an orange twist, and drink it on its own.
Yeah.
But obviously integrate it into an Adonis or any other cocktail that you might use vermouth for. It's a very American style vermouth. It's different than Spanish and Italian vermouth. You know, we're doing things differently. Our process is different. Our bittering agents are different. Our wine bases are different. So it's our, you know, sort of, it's to our taste what we like to drink.
Sure.
It's really where it started. It was sort of a selfish project.
So you have three expressions.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, I mean, like, how did you, because there's, what, classically five styles or more? I mean,
well, yeah, maybe right around five styles.
Did you guys, were like, we need a dry, we need a white, we need a rosé, or?
Well, we did in the beginning decide, we knew we wanted to start with two.
Yeah.
To go out on market with. And like I said, we were making several different iterations. We make Chinato, and that's definitely something we'd like to make and produce down the line. But we knew ultimately to start that we wanted them to be the sipping, sort of softer and sweeter style vermouth. It's once you get past the sort of stigma of vermouth, because I've heard in the last almost 3 years that we've been on market, and even well before that, oh, I don't like vermouth. Oh, I don't drink vermouth. Ugh, no. You know, and how do you know that? So once you get past that, that hump to people, and they actually taste the vermouth, and you get to change people's minds.
It seemed to be that one ingredient for so long that was like, you just, you know, just,
well,
I think
it's mishandled.
Well,
you
know?
Yeah.
It's mishandled. It's always left
the back
out.
bar or in your parents. You
yeah.
Know,
and it's like the one ingredient you're not actually supposed to use, right? For like a dry martini, which I know originally was actually dry vermouth, but you just wave the bottle over
right. That's the classic joke, right?
Yeah. Just buy a bottle and eat it, right?
Like, yeah. What?
So it's, do you think that
it's just a misunderstood? I think it's misunderstood, and I think it despite the fact that it's such a foundational component for classic cocktails, prohibition cocktails, etc., it got a bad rap because of those years of mass production and you know, post World War II, people were drinking their cocktails. I'm sure you guys know this part of history much, much stronger than they had originally been intended. So, you know, martini was a very wet thing, and mm-hmm. Manhattans were very wet, and Martinez's were vermouth based cocktails. So they sort of changed culturally. We changed a bit. So we're hoping that people are coming back to the low ABV side of life. At least
so
for
that's
a
why
while.
You chose to start off with the ready to go, ready to pour,
ready to go, ready to drink.
Vermouth,
you don't
is very
have
Spanish
to
and Italian
think about
style,
it, right?
As a, and from a marketing standpoint, it's easier for people to pick up the
to
bottle.
To understand it and
just pick up the bottle, just go for it.
Right? Exactly, yeah. Pour it in a glass on ice, like I said, maybe some seltzer, and it's good to go. So it's easier for people to understand and wrap their heads around it that way. Our dry vermouth is much more austere. It's much more avant-garde. It's much more savory. It's umami. It's made with tons of bittering agents. Yeah, it's funky. So that's, you know, maybe not the wisest business choice in the world, but we thought it was really cool, very different than anything on market, and really fun to play with in cocktails if you get it in front of, you know, a creative-minded person. So we also have other dry vermouth formulas that we'd like to try. So, you know, you can't make everything that you want to make from a business point of view, but...
Well, what do you have coming down? I mean, like, what do you
so
want to do?
So we for sure are planning on making Chinato. That's one of my absolute favorite things to drink. I just actually was in Piedmont and drinking a lot of Chinato in September, and it's just very close to my heart. We love it. We're working now on a bitter, so we're actually doing a liqueur, which is a bit off from the vermouth, you know, absolute vermouth formula. But so we have lots of things that we want to do. I mean, endless things. I'm a huge wine drinker. I have a background in wine, you know, doing wine lists and studying wine and drinking a lot of wine. And so I also like the idea of doing sort of unusual skin contact wine-based vermouth, and I want to do a very local to DC and the Mid-Atlantic area botanical run vermouth. So a lot of ideas kicking around, but
we'll
see what all comes to fruition and when it does. Local, we're still very, very young. Yeah.
Gonna do some wild foraging around the
Potomac. You know, I do want to do some foraging. I don't know that we'll source it that way. I don't know how much foraging I can do. That's
That's awesome.
A little impractical, but yeah.
Well, let's take a break. We'll park it right there for a second, and we're going to peel out, but we'll be right back momentarily. This is Shift Drink, recording live at The Line.
And the break song today, it's called A New Day. It's by a producer, goes by P. Morris. Find his music online. We'll be right back with Shift Drink.
Okay, welcome back to Shift Drink, recording live at The Line. It's Matthew Ramsey with
Eddie Kim, and we're here with Kat Amini, who makes Capitoline Vermouth here in the district.
Yes, I do. Hello.
Great. Actually, it is actually made here in the district at New Columbia Distillers. People can visit the distillery.
Yes, they can. Yeah. We are we're open to the public every Saturday, 1 to 4, for free tours and tastings. You get to taste through all of the vermouth that we make, and of course, all the New Columbia Distillers gin products.
Very cool.
We also have a beer distillate that we just made, and there's rye whiskey and barrel and apple brandy and barrel, so that'll be coming out down the line. But right now, it's pretty fun. We are we're the first distillery in DC after Prohibition ended,
That's so awesome.
So we're really like we're a production facility, so you get to see, you know. There's really no bells and whistles, but you see all of the stills and how we do what we do and why we do it. And we've just actually leased some space next door for a tasting room and a bar. So that will take some time, but you can come see us every Saturday, 1 to 4, and visit. Yeah.
And so their gin is called Green Hat Gin, and very distinctive label with the green hat.
Right.
But your label, I like a lot more, actually.
Thank you.
Can you talk about it? It's very
distinct branding. You can recognize your bottle anywhere.
Thank you.
Which I guess is probably the point. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty distinctive. It's actually a watercolor painting by an artist, Susan Abbott. She did some work for Peter, my business partner, at a winery in California. So they connected that way. And she's just super talented. We contacted her as the first person to try to sort of set out to make the label that we had in mind, which is... covered in flowers and citrus. It has a tree in the middle of the label, which is the cinchona bark that we use for bittering. So everything that is on the label is actually in the bottle, whether it be the rosé or the white. So you have saffron and Meyer lemon and orange and chamomile, and this is the cinchona bark. There is a snake wrapped around a tree, the story with that is the obvious one, the low-hanging fruit, obviously, the temptation, right, of the spirit. that it's a vice, right? You're drinking something alcoholic, but also Peter's snake died the year that we went to market. His name was Slinky. And so it's an homage to sure. Slinky. He had that well, snake for 20 Slinky. Years. Yeah. So well, cheers to Slinky. Pour one out for Slinky.
We'll put up a post of a picture of Slinky, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should. Yeah, maybe we should. I'm sure there's photographic evidence of Slinky, yeah.
Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes?
You're a cat person though, right?
I am a cat person. A very serious cat person. Yes. I have two cats, indoor sister cats, and my outside alley cat that I...
So the first one's named Hedwig.
Hedwig and Pincho are my two cats inside.
Both great names.
Thank you.
Pincho like the food?
Pincho like the food, like little morsel, like little bite.
Great question.
Their names are much longer, but I'm not sure that I want to embarrass myself and tell everyone what they are.
Please do.
Okay, well, I did just say that. So we have Pincho Peppercorn Mialski of the house Hamidi Imani. My full last name is Hamidi Imani. It's hyphenated, Iranian, long one.
Yes.
So Pincho Peppercorn Mialski of the house Hamidi Imani. You're laughing with me and
good.
Not at me.
No, that's good.
And Hedvig Bowie Mialski of the house Hamidi Imani. So very long, distinguished names for very distinguished cats. They're alley cats, rescue
and
cats.
And none of them are, it's the not the third or the fourth. It's,
they're OGs. They're the OGs so far, yeah. And then I have Bubba. He's my outside cat. He's just Bubba, though. He's an alley cat. He's not quite as regal.
Oh, so you just put out food and
yeah,
he just shows up
he has a little heated house. I like plug in, and he's got a little heated house, and I feed him every day. Comes in when it's really cold and hangs out.
I like Bubba.
Yeah, this is my life. I make vermouth and I herd cats.
the two go so well together.
Don't they? Yeah.
Well, there is actually a thing about distillery cats. So,
yes. Absolutely. B.T. Parsons.
B.T. Parsons wrote a book about distillery cats, and it's actually a thing because...
One of my favorite Instagram
mice
accounts.
Away from the grains.
Yep.
Is there one over at New Columbia?
There's not because we are on a street that's incredibly highly trafficked. And people, I mean, D.C. buses fly down that street, and we oftentimes in nice weather we have our garage door open. So... The formula there, those two things, I think, not great for a cat. We'd love to have one. I mean, I'd love to have one around, but yeah, I think it probably won't work out.
I might be speaking for my girlfriend, but you could have ours.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't tempt me.
Her name is Oscar. She's a lady cat.
You're gonna get rid of your cat?
We can donate it to a good cause.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Man. Yeah.
Are you allergic to cats?
I'm very allergic to cats.
Oh, and you cohabitate, so now there's also a kitty involved.
Exactly.
Suck it up, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Suck it up.
I'll adopt.
Okay. tell us about this wine club you do.
So we do call it the Wine Club, actually. It's our women's tasting group. It's a whole series of restaurant professionals in D.C., women that are friends of mine, and about 18 months ago, maybe decided we would just get together and drink wine. I was working, so for example, at Eto, our wine list is very focused. It's Cru Beaujolais and Sicilian wine almost exclusively. So when you're around that wine and you're selling that wine and you're ordering that wine, that's what you're drinking. And so you kind of lose your chops a little bit. So we thought it would be fun to drink wines that we don't usually drink or...
Expand horizons.
Expand your horizons, yeah. Where once upon a time, I was drinking much more variety in wine. So that was one of the reasons. We also had a good group of women. My friend Tara Smith, who's a manager over at Tail Up Goat, was one of the original members. She and I put this together. And so it's a group of us that hang out. And
I love Tara, yeah.
She's the best. We hang out. We pick sort of either a region or grape variety or... a wine that you love and means something to you or a wine that you're curious about. And we research it and we taste it. So I usually host at my apartment in Mount Pleasant. We throw down a bunch of cheese and meat and
perfect.
It's all women and we drink staggering amounts of wine. It's pretty fun.
I bring it up because it's refreshing that there's no men in the group. And
no
the
men.
Wine world can be fairly masculine. Fairly
absolutely. Yeah.
So
spirits and wine for sure, historically.
Purposely done so you can... Have your own wine tasting group.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Chicks hanging out, drinking wine. Yeah. Also, a lot of my friends in the industry that I'm very close with are women. I mean, I have, of course, male friends too, but it just kind of worked out that it would be a fun kind of space to have just women hanging out talking about wine.
Absolutely.
Underrepresented, but certainly that's changing for sure. The tides are changing. The future is female, after all.
After all.
The tides, yeah. So, are there any trends in wine that you see that are happening, or anything that you?
I really like the the California, the new world wines, especially in this country, California, Oregon, and Washington State too, that are showing a lot more restraint than they did for a long time. So, you know, we all lived through the 90s and the early 2000s where 16% cabs were king, and different grape varieties are being grown, and there's a lot of interesting lighter bodied, less boozy, you know, goes back to the,
it seems like they're dialing things.
They're dialing things back. Yeah. And I think that's really cool. And I think that it's nice that they're easier to drink, and generally speaking, not always, they're more affordable than California wines have been. So the combination of those two things, and specifically in this country, but
yeah. Do you have is there a guilty pleasure wine out there for you?
Oh, gosh. Is there a guilty pleasure wine out there for me?
Cupcake wine.
Yeah. Not cupcake wine. I wish I did. You know, I have a guilty pleasure cocktail, but guilty pleasure wine, I don't know, cheap sparkling wine probably. Like, I'm pretty set with, like, the crappiest bubbly.
I love
bubbly.
A good pizza wine.
Yeah, okay. So, like, Lambrusco sparkling red wine?
Yeah.
Is that a guilty pleasure, though? Because they're made so, like, really well, you know? Like,
that's true.
There's certainly some sketchier versions of those wines, but guilty pleasure wine.
What's a guilty pleasure cocktail?
Bailey's and decaf.
Wow.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, don't judge me.
No, that's amazing.
Slight throwback to our last week's episode, Bailey's infused with
cannabis,
yeah,
which I didn't know was a thing. I'm learning so much. Thank you so much, Shift Drink.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yeah,
our pleasure.
Incredible. I really didn't. I was like, they're talking about cannabis cocktails. Yeah, I'm old. I don't know.
Oh no, I'm still feeling the effects of that.
So. I know.
that was pretty impactful. I had a moment last week with that.
Jack, you took some home. Have you taken? Yeah,
definitely didn't drink it.
No, really. What did you do with it?
No, I drank it.
Straight.
It kind of destroyed me, to be honest.
Yeah, was it a tincture? I don't remember what you were.
So we infused the cream with cannabis, yeah.
Fantastic. Did it taste good?
It tasted like weed.
Yeah, so but it depends on your definition of good.
Yeah, exactly. But it takes so little that in our coffee cups I could barely taste it. So
No. The coffee was pretty strong and it hit it, but you can definitely see it. It tasted very much like butter coffee that you can get.
Wow.
It was tasty.
And you were super high.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. It was a doozy.
Yeah. all right. Well, we have a rapid fire sequence for you.
Batten down the hatches.
We were just talking pizza, so we're going to lead off the pizza question.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Hawaiian pizza, yay or nay?
Nay.
That was a quick
that's
nay.
That's a strong nay.
Oof.
Thank you.
Pizza again. So we do Mary Fuck Kill.
Mary Fuck Kill.
Mary Fuck Kill. Okay, right.
This is going to be a little divisive.
So these are three DC pizza havens.
Come on, man.
I know.
This is dangerous. All right, go on.
Your former alma mater is not in here.
Okay.
So we'll do All Purpose.
Uh-huh.
Timber Pizza in Petworth.
Oh, you
and Menomali over in...
All right. Oh, my gosh. This is dangerous. Okay, I'm going to kill Menomali right out of the gate.
Is it because it's far away?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what it is. Okay. Then I have fucking Mary, and so it's All Purpose and Timber. I'm going to fuck Timber, but I'm going to marry All Purpose. Do I have to give you reasons
solid.
Why? Okay, thank you. Oh, thank you. I feel validated. I appreciate you.
Just because I'd marry All Purpose.
I'd marry All Purpose too.
Would you? Okay,
yeah,
right.
I'd definitely marry
they have
All Purpose.
Great Caesar salad.
The Caesar is quite divine.
It's the best Caesar salad in DC, I'm going to have to say.
Where?
At All Purpose.
Oh, yeah.
But like Timber might be sexier, hence the fuck part.
Timber's like. I mean, it's Bon Appetit, top 50 this past year.
Legit,
so
yeah.
They're awesome.
Fun group of people, super fun, yeah.
Yeah.
I work at the Penn Quarter Farmers Market. We have our little setup there, and they work the market, and they're like having the most fun out of anybody in the whole
They've got a great garden.
Yeah. So now that now that you aren't going to marry them, they're going to just throw pizza at you.
They might throw pizza at me, yeah. No strings attached pizza.
Well, you said
pizza.
You fuck them, so never mind.
Yeah, it's NSA pizza, though.
But
no
how do you
attached.
Dose pizza? That's what I want to know.
you don't.
All right. Are you a cake or pie kind of person?
I'm going to go pie. I'm going to go pie, but I'm very particular about pies.
What kind of pie?
Well, I'm just like anti really chunky apple pie.
Okay.
Like apple pie needs to be like galette style, like thin, like thin.
I approve.
Nice. Buttery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Deserted on an island, favorite beach drink?
Mai Tai. Maybe that's like too obvious, but Mai Tai. I'm a fan.
Nice.
Double rum, yeah. Yeah. I have like my Mai Tai 4 times a year probably at home.
Just 4 times a year?
Yeah, at home.
Okay.
Does that not seem like a lot? quarterly like Mai Tais.
No, that seems like a lot.
Yeah, they're
that's
like good. They're like boozy and syrupy.
You file your tax forms, Mai Tai.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever made it like a pina colada at home.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Have you? Of course you have, Eddie Kim. Of course you have.
There's some good pina colada recipes out there. Like there's like the easy ones where you just use a blender. It's like done and ready to go.
Yeah, all I right. don't mind that.
Are you a board game player at all? Do you like board games?
I do like them. I don't think I play them very often, but I do enjoy a good board game.
Do you have a favorite? Catan, Risk.
I've actually never played Catan. Okay. I loved Risk when I was younger. I loved it. I mean, we play epic hours-long games. Yeah, good nice. Times. Good okay. times.
So I see right here, favorite date night or restaurant bar, but we used to actually ask what's the most romantic restaurant or bar bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
If you had
you know, one. My dad bathroom is pretty sexy.
Right on. It is. Yeah,
it's pretty sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a tricky one. Jeez.
Where's Maidan again?
Maidan's just opened up on the 14th Street corridor, actually fairly near to the hotel, 14th and Florida.
That's right.
It's
you know, in the alley. I really should have better answers to this because one of my good friends, Rebecca, is also in my wine tasting group. Rebecca Pineda has an Instagram account that's Where is the Bathroom? And it is exclusively pictures of bathrooms. And some of them are super skanky and terrible, right. but some of them are pretty glorious. So I should scroll through that and get back to you on my date night bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a very DC question. Well, this will be our last one here. But favorite DC brunch?
Favorite DC brunch? Eto on 14th Street, 14th and Q.
Hot damn.
Killer pizza, great vibes, good cocktails.
Good breakfast pizza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally cozy in there. Wood burning, fire. In the nice season, there's a patio. Can't beat it.
Hot damn. All right.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, yeah. Thanks for joining us, Kat.
Hey, thanks for having me. This was tons of fun.
The vermouth is very tasty.
Thank you.
I am Eddie Kim. I'm joined here with
Matthew Ramsey.
And broadcasting live from the lobby of the Lion Hotel here in Ames Morgan. Happy MLK holiday.
And yeah. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.